Hi everyone. Are your online videos helping or hurting your brand? You'll find out in this presentation when I tell you about the five most common video mistakes that make you look like an amateur and how to avoid them. Hi there. If you're new here, let me introduce myself. I'm Lexi Rodrigo. I'm a digital content manager and blog editor at Miracy. I'm also a copywriter, an author, and a video enthusiast given my TV background. So let me tell you a story. Many years ago, when I was working in UNICEF, I clearly remember one day when my boss walked out of his office and came to me and he said, "Can you believe it? CNN is now letting people upload videos onto their website." And our minds were blown because at that time, posting videos online was like almost unheard of. And at the time, for us to produce a video cost us literally thousands of dollars. We had to buy expensive cameras. We had to hire professionals to edit the video and then distributing the video, getting it broadcasted or seen by hundreds or thousands of people. We had to pay for advertising or beg for time with the TV stations. Now, fast forward maybe 5, 7 or so years later, my son, who was 6 years old, had to stay at home because he was ill at the time. He had a cold and a cough, and because he was bored, he asked me if he could make a video, and I let him, and I uploaded his video on my own YouTube channel, and you can still find that on my YouTube channel today. The Minecraft videos are all done by my son. So a 6-year-old creating and uploading his own videos and spending nothing to have them distributed to the billions of people who use YouTube. And you know what? Some of his videos have thousands of viewers. Like, to be honest, I don't know if our documentaries at UNICEF before could get thousands of viewers that easily without us spending a lot of money to have them broadcasted. So that I told you that story to contrast like how much easier it is now for anyone really to create a video and put it out there and make it possible for so many people all over the world to see that video. Now, we love that, right? Marketers and business owners like you and me, we love this development because this means that we can get our message out to as many people as possible. But then on the other hand, you know what happened too? Is that now the internet is full of terrible videos, sucky videos. And you know, it's okay if you're doing it for fun or as a hobby. But if you're doing it to promote your business, then it's not good. You could be hurting your brand and hurting the relationship that you have with your audiences when you make bad videos. So, what are the five common video mistakes to avoid? Okay, let's start by showing you my title. So, the five common video mistakes that make you look like an amateur. First one is poor production values. Now, in the TV and movie world, when we say production values, we mean the technical quality of your video. And because video is image and sound, so we mean the quality of your pictures as well as sound. So the common mistakes that people make is, you know, when they put out a video where the audio isn't so good, like if the voice is very low like this and people can hardly hear them or understand them. Or maybe they're shooting their video outdoors and it's very windy and you get a lot of wind noise. And so the viewers can't hear them properly. Things like that. Other mistakes are, you know, not having enough light. Video, you know, our main equipment is a camera, right? And as with anything involving a camera needs light, and I don't care how expensive your camera is, without proper lighting, the image quality, the picture quality is going to suffer. So now You're watching me right now, and I can bet that you can see me pretty clearly because I have an artificial light as well as natural light. I'm well lit. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go out there and buy all this expensive lighting. A very simple way for you to get good lighting for your video is just to sit or stand in front of an open window, find a source of natural light, and face that natural light. Don't stand in front of the natural light in such a way that it makes you silhouetted. I remember, so I work remotely, right? So the way that at Miracy, the way that we have our meetings is through web conferencing. So we have our cameras on, our microphones on, and one of my coworkers, like we were telling her, you look so strange. Like you have this weird color and we can't really see your face. And she said, yeah, well, it's because the window is behind her. And so she was being silhouetted. And she said, I can't really find a place at home where I can have good lighting. And you know what we told her? We told her, turn around, like turn your table around, turn your desk around, turn yourself around, turn the camera around. And she did. So that simple move, she turned around, she ended up facing the window, and voila, we could see her a lot more clearly. So it can be as simple as that. Okay. Although if budget permits, so what I recommend is you buy the best equipment that you can afford. All right. Sorry, I just got an error message. All right. Now before moving on, I just want to emphasize that the lack of equipment should not stop you from creating and posting your own online videos. Nowadays, if you have, do you have a smartphone? Say yes in the comments if you have a smartphone. If you have a smartphone, you know what? You have a TV studio in your pocket, literally. A smartphone has a camera, it has a microphone, and you can record a video or even broadcast live. Like what I'm doing now, I can do that with my smartphone. Okay, so don't let the lack of equipment stop you from creating and posting your online videos. Just get started and then keep getting better and better as your budget allows. Now, the first thing that you need to invest in is actually not an expensive camera, but a good microphone. So if you're going to be shooting with your smartphone, get an external microphone, a lav microphone, lavalier, I believe is what it stands for. So those are the tiny microphones that you can attach to like your shirt or something. And that just improves the quality of your sound. Those microphones, I believe you can buy for under $50. And if you're doing this for business, I mean, what's a $50 investment, right? So then you can move on to eventually buying artificial light, like what I have here, or even a better camera. Like I'm using a Logitech camera, which is, I believe, I bought for less than $100. And the improvement in the quality of my video was just so significant. And you can compare for yourself. Look at some of my older videos, right? And you can tell that was when I wasn't using the Logitech camera. And then again, when I added the artificial light, you can tell the difference in my videos. Now, I also want to share with you a very common misconception, which is that when it comes to video, the image is more important than the sound. It's actually the opposite. When it comes to video, the sound is actually more important than the image. And that's because try it one time when you're watching a movie or a TV show or anything like that. If you mute the volume, you can hardly understand what's going on, right? Whereas if you just listen to it and let's say you didn't watch the pictures, what's going on with the images, you can still tell what's going on. So the first investment should be with a better sound. And if you're shooting with your on the desktop, what I recommend is a USB microphone, like what I'm using. Let me show you. This is the cute, oh, Blue Yeti microphone. Again, it's under $100, I think, when I bought it. And the sound quality is just really excellent. Okay, so first investment, good microphone, and then lighting, or sorry, microphone, camera, lighting. Okay, so let's move on to the second common, most common video mistake that people make, and that is poor appearance. Okay, let me tell you another story from my days in UNICEF. And very few people know this, but I actually met the late Roger Moore. Do you know who Roger Moore is or was? Roger Moore was one of the early actors to portray James Bond. I believe he starred in James Bond movies maybe in the 70s. Okay, so if you're around my age, then you would know Roger Moore. But I met him because he used to be a Goodwill ambassador for UNICEF. So that's how I met him. And I had the privilege of, accompanying him to TV appearances, like TV interviews. So what happened was, he was going to be interviewed for television, and then his assistant didn't have any makeup or powder or anything, so he borrowed mine. So Roger Moore actually used I believe it was my Clinique powder, and I was so embarrassed because obviously my skin tone is like several shades darker than his, but he used it anyways, just to remove the shine. Like he had perfect complexion, right? But just to remove the shine and to even out the skin tone a little bit. So you know what this means? If Roger Moore, with his Hollywood looks, needs makeup, so do you and me. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're one of those people, you wake up and roll out of bed in the morning and you look like a superstar, a supermodel, or a celebrity. If you're one of those people, then maybe you don't. But if you're like a mere mortal like me and Roger Moore, then, it doesn't have to be like full makeup. Right? Like what I'm wearing now is a little bit of foundation and some powder because a friend of mine critiqued one of my earlier videos and she said, well, use something matte. But you know what? My skin is not shiny, okay? But it still looks a little bit shiny on video. It's just that video, the camera really can either, wash you out, so you need a little something at least to remove the shine, and make sure that your eyes don't disappear. And in my case, without lipstick, I would look like the kiss of death. So I need a little bit of lipstick. So, at least some powder and maybe lip gloss for the ladies and for the gentlemen. I know most of the time, you guys, you look great even without makeup. But, if your skin isn't completely clear or there's a little bit of shine, then borrow a little bit of, some powder from your girlfriend or your wife, or get your own, right? We're doing this for business, so we want to present our best selves. And I'm not saying to use makeup so that you look like dramatically different than you would look in real life. You just want to show yourself in the best light, okay? I'm not saying deceit people by looking completely different in your videos than you would in real life. So of course, if let's say your everyday style is that you do wear a full face of makeup, like everything, like eyeshadow, mascara, and blusher, everything, then that's what you use on your videos. Okay. Oh, I've got another story for you. So the other day I was checking out I was looking for good examples of Facebook Live videos. And so I was checking out the videos of this lady that I'd heard of from my research. And she actually sells like I think it's more than $1,000, a program for Facebook Live. And so I checked out her videos and I was shocked because one of her videos, she was completely unmade up and she was sitting at the foot of her bed. The lighting was terrible. So, do I need to say that she looked completely unprofessional and she lost all her credibility with me. So you don't want that to happen with you. So come on, guys, like everyone, guys and gals, comb your hair, put a little bit of powder, brush your teeth, and you know, like I'm clothes, you know, don't wear your ratty t-shirt, you know. And also some other tips, avoid stripes and busy like plaids, because sometimes on camera that can cause like these dizzying patterns. And also avoid black, just because it absorbs all the color and all the light. All right, so that's it for the second mistake. Third mistake is disorganized content. So I don't know if you've seen these videos where the person, the presenter is just going on and on and on, and they're just not getting to the point. And then it ends and you don't even know like what was the value of that video. Now again, you know, it depends. If you're a vlogger, you know, you're doing this like a lifestyle kind of thing. Maybe that's okay with your audience. But if you're doing this for business, really you will get better results with your videos if you organize your content. And it can be, you know, a simple, like I used to just use a post-it note with my main ideas as bullet points. But nowadays I use a show flow, what is called a show flow. Here's my show flow for today's Facebook Live. And it's also just an outline, but a little bit more detailed, just because I found that I was forgetting some of the things that I wanted to say. And the post-it note, my little post-it note, just didn't have enough space for all the reminders that I had for myself. For example, did I forget something? So this is how I remember that I was supposed to tell you the story about my son being a YouTuber at 6 years old, and about the story of how Roger Moore came to use my makeup and so on. So, and also my show flow is reminding me that I'm supposed to ask you a question right now. And that is, do you use an outline or a show flow for your videos? Okay. Type yes or no in the comments so I'll know where you are. So I don't use a script, and I don't recommend it, because I think it just gets in the way of you being more spontaneous and natural. And it also depends on what kind of a video you're making, right? Obviously, if you're making a Facebook Live video like I am, I can't use a script. Like I can't be reading a script while I'm talking to you right now, right? So an outline for most purposes works really well. All right. Next most common mistake is the lack of a visual branding. So now, because it's so easy for anyone really with a smartphone can create their own video and put it up online. Now our news feed is filled with video, right? So there's so many other videos that we are competing with. So one way that you stand out is by visually branding your video. So the common mistake is, you know, just not really, not putting your brand on your video. And what do I mean by a brand? Like you can see right now, my video has my URL on it. That's part of my visual branding. Another part of my visual branding is the colors that I use on the graphics that you're seeing. Like right now, it's just red. But I have a set of, you don't know this, but if you look at all my videos, you will see that I use a set of four colors consistently. And I decided that those four colors are going to be the colors of my brand. Now, like, I'm able to do this, put graphics and colors and text on my Facebook Live because of the tool that I'm using, which is called Ecamm Live. And you will see a link to that tool in the description of this video. Ecamm Live, unfortunately for Windows users, is a Mac-only application. But if you are on Windows, there is another platform called BeLive.tv that I've also used myself. And It won't let you do this, but you can at least have what is called a lower third. Okay, so the lower third is, when you watch CNN and the person's name is at the bottom of the screen, that's your lower third. So at least BeLive.tv and Ecamm Live will allow you to add that lower third, and that can be part of your visual branding. Now, what if you can't do any of these things? What if you're out and about with just your cell phone and you're doing a Facebook Live, or you're doing a video for, let's say, for LinkedIn. Okay, so you can't do all these fancy visual branding stuff. So what you can do is be consistent, like with the colors, for example, that you wear. Like I could be like brand my videos by always wearing pink, for example. You can also brand your videos by always using the same backdrop. Like by now, if you've been following my videos, by now you must be very familiar with my living room by now. So when people see that becomes part of my visual brand. Another really easy thing that you can do to brand your videos is to change the custom thumbnail of your video. You can do this on Facebook. You can do this on YouTube as well. And another benefit to customizing your thumbnail is you avoid the thumbnail where you're this really unflattering shot of you, where you're like this, or you're in the middle of whatever facial expression that YouTube in particular, I don't know if YouTube does it on purpose, but if you just use it with the default thumbnails that YouTube comes up with, usually there are these really unflattering angles of you. So you can remove that and increase your visual branding by changing the custom image, the custom thumbnail of your video. Got it? Got it? Sound good? If that sounds good, type good in the comments. And let's move on to the fifth and last most common mistake that people make with their videos is not having a call to action. So sometimes, you watch a video and the person gave you some really good tips, and then afterwards you just say, well, thanks for watching. Bye bye. And that's okay if you're doing this as a hobby. But if you're doing this for business, you have to make sure that each of your videos has a call to action. And preferably, it is something that's beyond like my video or share my video or post a comment. Ideally, your call to action brings them to your webpage where you have an offer or a way to get them to subscribe to your email list, right? Or even better, to buy your stuff, buy your product. So the way to avoid this is when you're thinking of putting out a video, the first thing that you should actually the first thing that you should actually do is, before anything else, is to decide what is the call to action of that video. So, okay, Trish. Hi, Trish. She just commented, how do you change the thumbnail to a custom thumbnail? I just found out you're okay. Late again. Yes, you can go ahead and watch the replay later on, Trish. So how you change a thumbnail, it depends on whether you're on Facebook or YouTube. So on YouTube, well, I guess the steps are similar. You go to edit your video, and then under the, I believe it's like video info, then you will find there the suggested thumbnails of YouTube. And then there's also a button that you can click to say change thumbnail. And then on Facebook, so you go to edit your Facebook video. Now, when you do that, Facebook will show you your video in one corner. Now, in the upper right corner of that video screen, there's usually a button that says change or customize image or customize thumbnail. Unfortunately, I don't have my Facebook open right now because I'm trying to minimize, the demands on my computer, or else I could show you, but I can also do that in a separate presentation, a future presentation. All right. So let's go back to the call to action. So as I mentioned, the best call to action is, you know, when you say, go to this link, and that link goes to your website or landing page where people can either opt into your mailing list, or they can go ahead and buy your product. And you can watch later on, watch me and see what the call to action to this video is. All right. So, well, let me check my show flow. Do I have a story that I almost forgot to tell you guys. Okay. So a quick story about call to action. When I was working in children's television, every time we wrote a script, the first step was to identify the curriculum goal, because this was children's television, it's educational television. So the curriculum goal was either an academic goal, like to count to 10, you know, or it could be a what do you call that? Like a psycho-emotional goal, like to learn the value of humility, for example. Or it could be a behavioral goal, like to learn how to say please and thank you. So we started each script by identifying the goal of the script. So do something similar with each video, okay? Before you make your video, identify what is your goal for that video, and that will help you to figure out what your call to action should be. So, hi, Vasant. I don't know. Sorry if I'm not mispronouncing your name, Vasant or Vasant Alfred. So, Vasant says, hi, Lexi. I stumbled on your live feed, and I'm enjoying your presentation. I'm glad you're enjoying it. You're very poised. Thank you. One problem, I have become spoiled speeding up videos in YouTube. Same here. I watch at 1.25 or 1.5x to save time. Can this be done on Facebook? Perhaps not in the live version, but in the recorded version? Thanks. Oh my gosh, that is such a great question. So no, definitely you cannot speed up my video while you're watching live. That's that you would be contradicting the laws of physics if you did that. Now, in the live version, so no speeding up my video in the live version. In the recorded version, I have not seen a way to do that myself. But you know what? Things change so quickly. But who knows? Maybe tomorrow we'll log into Facebook and see that it's changed and see that that's possible. But you know what? I doubt it, because Facebook wants us to spend as much time in Facebook as possible. So I think if they allowed us to speed up the videos, then that would be contradictory to that. But, you know, that's just my theory. Again, as I said, things change so quickly. This might be different by tomorrow, by this afternoon. So thanks again for that question. But yeah, if you're one of those people and you want to save time, there is an app that I use for that. And it speeds up my videos. If I'm watching a video on another website and not YouTube, oh gosh, I can't remember the name, but I will add the name of that tool in the description or in the comments. Okay. Trish, you're welcome. Trish is saying, good idea. Thanks for breaking to tell me this. All right. To summarize then, for those of you who joined us late, these are the five common video mistakes that we talked about in this video. First of all, poor production values. So poor sound, poor lighting, and poor set. This is your set. Second, bad appearance, and that is your appearance as a presenter. Okay. You must look professional. Third is poor content. So not delivering something of value and not organizing your content. So the way to avoid that is to prepare and have an outline. And the fourth is no visual branding, meaning no text overlays, no URL for people to follow you or to learn more about you. And not also, and not being consistent with the appearance of your videos. And the fifth common mistake is not having a call to action. And of course, the way to fix that is to always have a call to action. And speaking of call to action, here is my call to action. If you enjoyed this video, I invite you to join me again tomorrow. Same time, same channel. So that's 11 a.m. Eastern. Trish, remember, 11 a.m. Eastern. I will be talking about some very simple ways to power up your online videos. I don't know yet because I haven't finished preparing my show flow for that. If I'm sharing five ways, it might be five tips to power up your videos. Okay. And in the meantime, if you want to go deeper into how you can do video more powerfully and more effectively in 2018 and beyond by making the most of the trends upcoming and the trends that are already happening, then I invite you to join me for a free and live webinar next week. And you can sign up for that by going to alexisrodrigo.com/webinar. And that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope to see you again tomorrow. Bye.